السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. بيّن سبحانه وتعالى أنه فرض علينا الصيام كما فرضه على الأمم السابقة، وبيّن عز وجل أن الحكمة من الصيام ليس مجرد ترك الأكل والشرب والجماع وغير ذلك من المباحات، إن بيّن عز وجل أن الحكمة من الصيام هي تقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى. وتقوى الله، قال بعض السلف، هي أن يراك الله حيث أمرك وألا يراك حيث نهاك. وقال بعض السلف إن تقوى الله هي فعل المأمور، أي تفعل كل ما أمرت به الشريعة، وترك المحظور أي تترك كل ما نهت عنه الشريعة. وشريعة الإسلامية نهت المسلمين في رمضان عن شيئين اثنين: الشيء الأول منقصات الصيام، أي الأمور التي تنقص أجر الصائم، وهي كثيرة، منها الغيبة ومنها النميمة ومنها الكذب ومنها الغنى ومنها مشاهدة الأفلام وسماع الأغاني وغير ذلك من المحرمات التي حرمتها الشريعة الإسلامية. فهذه المحرمات ينبغي على المسلم أن يتجنبها في رمضان وغير رمضان، لكن في رمضان أكد لكي لا تنقص أجر صيامه. قال نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام: من لم يدع قول الزور والجهل فليس إلا حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. رواه البخاري عن أبي هريرة. وروى ابن ماجة عن أبي هريرة أيضا رضي الله عنه وأرضاه أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال: رب صائم حظه من صيامه الجوع والعطش، رب صائم حظه من صيامه الجوع والعطش، أي ليس له أجر على هذا الصيام، لم يؤجر على صيامه، ترك المباحات، ترك الطعام، المحرمات، وهي أولى بالترك من المباحات. والنوع الثاني من النيات في رمضان، الأمور التي نهت عنها الشريعة الإسلامية في رمضان، هي المفطرات، مفطرات الصيام، الأمور التي تفسد الصيام إذا فعلها الصائم، وهي كثيرة، قسمها العلماء إلى قسمين: قسم مجمع عليه وقسم مختلف فيه. أما المجمع عليه هي الأكل والشرب تعمدا في نهاية رمضان. من أكل أو شرب في نهاية رمضان متعمدا فقد فسد صيامه. أما إن أكل أو شرب ناسيا فهذا لا شيء عليه، يكمل صيامه وصيامه صحيح، لقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام من أكل أو شرب ناسيا فليتم صومه، إنما أطعمه الله وسقاه. ومثل الأكل والشرب ما يقوم مقامهما، ما يقوم مقامهما كالفيتامينات والمغذيات. والنوع الثاني من المفطرات المجمع عليها هي الجماع في نهاية رمضان متعمدا. من جمع زوجته في نهاية رمضان متعمدا وهو مقيم صائما، أي وجب في حقه الصيام، فهذا فعل كبيرة من الكبائر، فسد صيامه وارتكب إثما عظيما، ووجبت عليه الكفارة المغلظة وقضاء هذا اليوم. ومن المفطرات المجمع عليها هي العزم، العزم على قطع الصيام، أن ينوي العبد قطع الصيام، فمن نوى قطع الصيام فقد فسد صيامه. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. فمن تعمد، فمن نوى قطع الصيام فقد فسد صيامه. أما إن تردد في ذلك لم يجزم، إنما تردد، فالتردد لا يفسد الصيام على الصحيح. ومن المفسدات بالاتفاق خروج دم الحيض أو دم النفاس من المرأة، فمتى ما حاضت المرأة ولو في آخر دقيقة من النهار فقد فسد صيامها، ومتى ما ولدت ولو في آخر دقيقة من النهار فقد فسد صيامها. ومن المفطرات بالإجماع الردة والعياذ بالله، فمن ارتد عن الإسلام فقد فسد صيامه. قال عز وجل ولقد أوحي إليك ولي من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين. وقال عز وجل وقدمنا إلى عملنا وقدمنا إلى ما عملوا من عمل فجعلناه هباء منثورا. فبين عز وجل أن الردة تحبط الأعمال. وما النوع الثاني من المفطرات هو ما تنازع فيه العلماء كالحجامة للصائم، هل هي مفطرة أم لا؟ على قولين مشهورين، وصيح أنها لا تفطر الصائم، الحجامة والتبرع بالدم، لكن الأحوط للمسلم أن لا يفعلها في نهي رمضان. فإن أراد أن يحتجم أو أراد أن يتبرع بالدم فليؤخر ذلك إلى الليل. أما إذا اضطر إلى التبرع بالدم أو الحجامة نهارا فالصحيح أنها لا تفسد الصيام. ومن المفترات المتراجع فيها القي من استقى أي تعمد إخراج ما في بطنه من الأكل، من تعمد ذلك فقد فسد صيامه، ومن لم يتعمد فلا شيء عليه. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من درعه القي، من درعه القي أي غلبه الغي، خرج منه من غير قصد، قال فلا شيء عليه. ومن استقى فليقضي أي من تعمد ذلك فعليه القضاء. وكذا قال عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما كما في موطأ مالك: ومن الأمور المختلف فيها قطرة العين وقطرة الأذن وبخاخ الربو والأكسجين والتحاميل وقلع الضرس، والصحيح أن كلها ليست من المفطرات. ثم ينبغي أي الأخوة على المسلم أن يجتهد في رمضان في العبادات الصالحة، أن يتقرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى بالصيام والقيام وتلاوة القرآن، فيبقى على المسلم أن يجتهد في رمضان ما لا يجتهد في غيره من الشهور. كان نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام يجتهد في رمضان ما لا يجتهد في غيره، كان يجتهد في رمضان ما لا يجتهد في غيره من الشهور، كما جاء في الحديث حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها: كان النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أجود الناس، وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان، كان كالريح المرسلة عليه الصلاة والسلام. فينبغي عليكم أيها الأخوة أن تجتهدوا في صلاة الليل في التراويح، وأن لا تنصرفوا من الصلاة إلا وقد أنهى الإمام صلاته. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من قام مع الإمام حتى ينصرف كتب له قيام ليلة. من قام مع الإمام حتى ينصرف أي حتى ينصرف الإمام من صلاته كتب له قيام ليلة، أي أن له من الأجر كأجر من قام ليلة كاملة. فينبغي على المسلم أن لا يتكاسل وأن لا يفرط في هذا الأجر العظيم، وينبغي على إمام المسجد أن لا ينفر الناس من هذا الأجر العظيم، لا يطيل عليهم في الصلاة إطالة فاحشة ينفر الناس من الصلاة معه. فينبغي عليه أن يكون معتدلا في صلاته، وألا يطيل على الناس في الدعاء، فإن كثيرا من الأمة في القنوت يطيل جدا إطالة فاحشة. إلى للإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمة الله عليه: يا أبا عبد الله، القنوت قدر كم؟ أي طوله قدر كم؟ قال: على قدر صورة الانشقاق، على قدر صورة الانشقاق. والانشراق وجه في القرآن. وعائشة رضي الله عنها قالت يا رسول الله أرأيت إن أدركت ليلة القدر ماذا أقول؟ قال قولي اللهم أنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. فلا يندق على الإمام أن يطيل في الدعاء ولا أن يلحن الدعاء، فإن التلحين ليس من آداب الدعاء. روى ابن حبان وصححه أن عائشة رضي عنها سمعت إماما يسجع في دعائه فقالت يا هذا لا تسجع في الدعاء، لا تسجع في الدعاء، فإن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال، فإن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام نهى عن السجع في الدعاء. قالت فإن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام نهى عن السجع في الدعاء. فينبغي على المسلم ألا يلحن دعاءه وألا يطيل في دعائه إطالة فاحشة. هكذا أي الأخوة ينبغي أن يكون الناس في رمضان في قيام وصلاة وصيام وتلاوة القرآن وغير ذلك من الأعمال الصالحة، وأن يحفظوا ألسنتهم. فليس الحكمة من الصيام هي ترك مباحات الأكل والشرب وغيرهما، إنما الحكمة هي تقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى. فيجب عليك أن تترك المحرمات كما تترك المباحات. أسأل بأسماء الحسنى وصفاته العلى أن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضى، وأن يرينا الحق حقا ويرزقنا اتباعه، وأن يرينا الباطل باطلا ويرزقنا اجتنابه. والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أحسن الله عليكم وبارك فيكم شيخنا.
جزاكم الله خير، حياكم الله. السلام عليكم.
السلام الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. مكتبة واحدين بتعاون مع عدة مساجد في منطقة البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحدة يسرها أن تقدم لكم محاضرة بعنوان فضل صلاة التراويح وبعض أحكامها لفضيلة الشيخ بدر بن محمد البدر العنزي حفظه الله تعالى. واحدين publications in conjunction with several masajid in the Caribbean and U.S. is pleased to present a lecture entitled The Virtues and Rulings of the Taraweeh Prayer by the Honorable Sheikh Badr ibn Muhammad al-Badr al-Anazi. May Allah preserve him. The Sheikh Hafidhullah Ta'ala began by greeting us all with the greeting of Islam, saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then said, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help and His forgiveness, we seek refuge with Allah from the evils of our own souls and from our own wicked deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can misguide. And whomsoever Allah allows to be led astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, who is one and has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, his family, his companions, and all those who follow their guidance until the day of judgment. He then said that Allah the Exalted says in his book, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, as it was prescribed on those who came before you, so that perhaps you might attain taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here was clarifying that He made fasting an obligation upon us, just as He made fasting an obligation upon the previous nations, and that the hikmah, the wisdom behind the fast is not simply leaving alone one's food, drink, and intimacy with their spouse. The wisdom behind the fast is not leaving alone these things which are permissible. The wisdom behind it is having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving alone those things that are not permissible. Having taqwa of Allah, as the Salaf said, is that Allah sees you where He commanded you to be, and that He does not see you where He forbade you from being. Others of the Salaf define taqwa as doing what we have been commanded to do and leaving everything we have been prohibited from doing. The Sharia has prohibited the Muslims in the daytime, in Ramadan, from two things, two broad categories of things. The first category are those things that take away from the reward of fasting. They don't break the fast, but they take away from the reward of fasting. There are many examples of this broad category of things that take away from the reward of fasting, such as backbiting, gossip, lying, singing, watching videos, movies, listening to music, and other types of things that are prohibited in Islam. All of these decrease and take away from the reward of the fasting person. And so the Muslim should leave alone all of these things in the daytime in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, but especially during the daytime in Ramadan, so that his fast, the reward for his fast, does not go to waste. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does not leave alone false speech and ignorance, then Allah has no need for him leaving alone his food and drink, as was recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Likewise, Ibn Majah recorded on the authority of Abu Hurairah that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, there may be a fasting person whose share of the fasting is hunger and thirst, meaning that he gets no reward for his fast. He gets no benefit. He goes hungry and thirsty, but gets no reward for his fast, because he left alone these things which are permissible, the food and drink which is permissible, but he didn't leave alone the things which are impermissible. The things which are impermissible have more right of being left alone than food and drink. Another of the things that the Sharia has prohibited, in the second category, are those things which break the fast, those things which render null and void one's fast. There are also many examples of this, and they fall into two broad categories, those which the scholars have no difference of opinion about, that there's a mutual consensus among the people of knowledge, that they all agree that these things break the fast. And there are other things that the scholars differ about. Do they break the fast or not? When it comes to those things which are, there's a consensus about, which all of the scholars mutually agree that they do indeed break the fast, these include eating or drinking intentionally during the daytime in Ramadan. If a Muslim eats or drinks during the daytime in Ramadan intentionally, then they have nullified their fast. If a Muslim, however, were to eat or drink out of forgetfulness, forgetting that it was Ramadan, then that would not break the fast, and that person would simply fast the rest of his day, and his fast would be complete and acceptable. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever eats or drinks out of forgetfulness, let him complete his fast, because it is only Allah who has fed him and gave him to drink. And so just as eating food and drinking water and the likes breaks the fast, ingesting other things that are similar to food also breaks the fast, such as if a person were to swallow vitamins, this would break the fast. And any other thing that has a nutritional value, ingesting these things would break the fast. The second thing that the scholars mutually agree about and have a consensus concerning that breaks the fast is intercourse during the daytime in Ramadan. If a Muslim has intercourse with his wife during the daytime in Ramadan on purpose, then his fast has been nullified. And this is if the person doesn't have a valid excuse for breaking the fast, such as him being on a journey, him traveling, and having a valid excuse for breaking his fast. If a person falls into this sin, not only is his fast nullified, but he has also committed a major sin. He's committed a major sin, and he has to perform an expiation for that, which is a very severe expiation. And likewise, after Ramadan is over, he has to make up that day. Another of the things that the scholars mutually agree break the fast is intending to eat, or intending to do something that breaks the fast. As soon as the person makes the intention and is determined to do something that breaks the fast, then indeed they have nullified their fast. This is due to the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that deeds are only by intentions, and every person shall have only what he intended. And so as soon as the person is determined to eat or do another of the things that break the fast, then, even before actually doing that action, they have broken their fast. A Muslim, however, does not break his fast if he hesitates, if he is considering doing something that breaks the fast, but he hasn't made up his mind, he is not determined to do it. If he considers breaking the fast, but isn't determined to do it, this does not break the fast. Another of the affairs that scholars mutually agree and have a consensus about them breaking the fast is when a woman has her menses or gives birth and therefore begins her postpartum bleeding. These two things, according to the mutual consensus of the scholars, break the fast. So even if a woman just moments before Maghrib time were to begin her menses, then her fast for that day would be null and void, even though she fasted the majority of that day. Likewise, if a woman were to give birth just before Maghrib, then her fast for that day would be broken and would not count. Another of the things that break the fast, according to the mutual consensus of the scholars, is apostasy. May Allah protect us from that. If a person were to fall into apostasy, do one of the things that nullify their Islam during the daytime in Ramadan, then their fast for that day would not count. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. It has been revealed to you and to those who came before you that if you commit shirk, if you associate partners in worship with Allah, then your deeds will be rendered null and void, and you will be one of the losers. Likewise, Allah says, وَقَرِبْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And we approached the deeds that they did, and we made them as scattered particles of dust. So these are some examples of things that break the fast according to the mutual consensus of scholars, and none of the scholars have any difference of opinion concerning them. There are other things which scholars do differ about. Some say they break the fast, and others say they do not. Some of the examples of this are the hijama, cupping or bloodletting. And the correct opinion is that this does not break the fast. However, it's appropriate for the Muslim to stay on the safe side, not to have a hijama done while he is fasting in the daytime in Ramadan. And just like having the hijama, bloodletting, another thing that takes the same ruling as this is donating blood, having blood drawn to donate to others. If a Muslim is going to have a hijama done, or he's going to donate blood during the month of Ramadan, he should do so at night, not during the daytime, to stay on the safe side. Even though the most correct opinion is, if a Muslim were to do this during the daytime, it would not break his fast. Another of the things that scholars differ about is whether or not vomiting breaks the fast. And the correct opinion is that if a person vomits on purpose, then indeed his fast is null and void for that day. But if the person, however, vomited, not on purpose, but it's just that the vomit overcame them, then that would not break their fast. This is due to the hadith of the Master alayhi salatu wasalam, that whoever has overcome by vomit, then he has broken his fast. Excuse me. Whoever is overcome by the vomit, he is not breaking his fast. And whoever intentionally vomits, then he should make up, he must make up his fast. This hadith was narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma in Muwatta al-Imam Malik. Some other things that scholars differ about concerning whether or not they actually break the fast are eye drops, ear drops, the spray that people use for asthma, and inhaling oxygen and doing blood tests. Likewise, having teeth removed. And the correct opinion is that these things do not break the fast. During the month of Ramadan, the Muslim should strive and work hard to perform as many good deeds as possible. In reciting the Quran, in performing Taraweeh prayers at night, in doing all types of good deeds that bring him closer to his Lord. He should strive in doing so more than he strives in the rest of the months of the year. As is in the hadith of the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most generous of people, and he was the most generous that he would ever be in Ramadan. He was as generous as a wind that had been sent. And so, dear Muslim, you should strive and work hard during this month to perform good deeds, to perform the prayer at night, in the congregation, in the houses of Allah, and you should not leave the prayer until it is finished. You should stay for the entire Taraweeh prayer until it is finished. As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that whoever stands with the Imam until he finishes the prayer, it will be written for him the standing of an entire night. That is, whoever prays the whole Taraweeh prayer until the end, he will get the same reward of a person who prayed the entire night. Therefore, it's befitting for the Muslim not to miss out on this great reward, and not to be lazy, and not to cause himself to miss out on it due to laziness. He should strive to attend the Taraweeh prayer every night in the masjid and to remain there for the entire prayer. Likewise, it's befitting for the Imam, the one leading the Taraweeh prayer, not to chase the people away by making the prayer too long. He should not make the prayer so long that it becomes a burden on the people to attend the prayer and it keeps them up too late. He should make his prayer middle. He should take a middle course in making his prayer. Be moderate. Not make it too long and also not too short. Likewise, when making dua, when making the dua, the qunut, he should not make this dua very long. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, was asked once, it was said to him, O Abu Abdullah, the qunut, how long should it be? He said, it should be the length of Surah Al-Inshiqaq, which is one page in the Quran. One page in the Quran. It's not very long. Likewise, the mother of the believers, Aisha, radiallahu anha, said, O Messenger of Allah, what do you think if I reach and live to see Laylatul Qadr? What should I say? How should I make dua? He responded, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, you should make dua saying, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. O Allah, you are indeed forgiving and you love to forgive, so forgive me. Another thing that the Imam leading the prayer should not do when making the dua is to sing in making the dua. He should not make dua singing. And he should not make the dua in a rhyme. As recorded by Ibn Hibban and graded to be sahih by him on the authority of the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, that she once heard an imam making dua and making the dua rhyme. And she said to him, don't make your dua rhyme, because the Prophet ﷺ forbade rhyming when making dua. And so the Muslim should not sing when making dua like he does when reciting the Quran, and he should not make his dua rhyme. And he should not make his dua very long. This is how, oh my dear Muslim brothers, we should be during this month, the month of Ramadan, spending our days fasting, spending our nights praying, and reciting the book of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking to do all of the righteous deeds possible, and preserving our tongues, not saying anything to gain the anger of our Lord. The wisdom behind fasting is not leaving alone permissible things. Rather, the wisdom behind fasting is having taqwa of Allah by leaving alone those prohibited things. And so, you should leave alone what is haram during this month, just as you leave alone the halal things by leaving alone your food and drink. We ask Allah, by His lofty names and attributes, to grant us all success in doing what is pleasing and beloved to Him. We ask Allah to show us the truth and to grant us the strength to act upon it. And we ask Him to show us the falsehood and grant us the strength to stay away from it. And Allah knows best. And may His peace and blessings be upon our Messenger Muhammad.